If it's this moment in this season to bring it out. And I believe there's a shift in the spirit of people's lives and the body of believers as a whole. A while ago, I was provoked. I had read it, but it never bothered me. But once something to me, something hit me like a ton of bricks. And this person said, and he didn't really know what he was saying to me, but it was passing conversation. He says, isn't it sad that in all what's happening, that the church is classified as non-essential? It's not essential. And it just, all of a sudden, the weight of that hit me like a ton of bricks. What do you mean we're not essential? What does it mean not being essential? All of a sudden, society, government, has labeled us, I don't know whether intentionally or unintentionally, that the church is not essential. And that's why we closed, and that's why we come in fellowship, and that's why all this stuff was happening. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, this weight of non-essential, essential. Understand, I'm an electrician by background, and I used to work at Australia Post for a lot of years. And we had our own generator set. So when the Perth Mail Exchange power went off, that kicked in. But it wouldn't feed all of the whole of the PME, Perth Mail Exchange. It would only feed the essential boards. The non-essential boards, which we deemed that we could live with. We can live with what we need is the essential, and everything else we can live without. And so what the world is saying to me is, we'll turn you on when we want you, and we'll turn you off when we don't want you. That's the nature of non-essential. We fill a gap, or we fill a need when they seem a need, but when they don't need me, they can turn me off. And so all of a sudden I thought, what's happening? And this is a product of a few weeks, so you'll have to bear with me. He said this, because my people are the head, and now they're the tail. They will wag when the head speaks. But really, and it's happened over generations, it's not just happened overnight, it's happened over if not a couple of centuries, that the church as a whole, a body of Christ, has allowed itself to be fitted instead of being an influence, decision-making process in society. Centuries ago, they wouldn't do anything unless they spoke to the church. And it wasn't that the church wanted to be government, it wanted an influence of Christ in the midst of the society. Amen? But now that doesn't happen. So I just felt the Lord say, we've lost our impetus. We've lost our impetus. And we're going to get it back. I really believe this is the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to get it back. Because what they deem non-essential, the word that's in the non-essential will become essential. Amen? And here's what he said to me. And I want to prophesy this. But I don't want to miss a word, so I had to write it down. This is what he said to me. But hear me, Australia. Hear the word of the Lord, that these bones shall live again. There is a move of God that will cause a shaking and a coming together to form an army again. That which seems to have fallen apart, that which seems to the eye disjointed, dislocated, dried up, or irrelevant, a bunch of used-to-bes or once people once of, these, what you have prophesied as non-essential, will become again essential, for that which supplies them is essential. Out of which will flow a word, what the land will need these days ahead, says the Lord. There is a word that is essential that is locked up inside of you. And even though by sight, the world thinks it's non-essential, God is going to make a move of God, because the bones only came together because God moved them. There's going to be a move of God that will cause a fitting together. Amen. That didn't seem to fit before. In Ezekiel 37 is a story about the army of God and the bones. Shall these bones live? Verses 1 to 10. You can read that in a minute. I just want to talk because I haven't got long. These bones shall live. Shall these bones live? The prophet said something like this. Well, Lord, the prophet, who was your prophet, one of the five major prophets of the Old Testament, said, well, Lord, you know. So he wasn't moved by faith. It wasn't a faith statement that moved Ezekiel. It wasn't a word by seeing. It wasn't a word by hope. It wasn't a word at all. He said, Lord, you know. Then he says things like this. Speak or prophesy what I have commanded you. I want to say that again. Say what I have commanded you. Don't prophesy because you lack faith. Don't worry about your faith in the situation of death, in the situation of brokenness, in the situation of disharmony and disjointedness and hopelessness and despair. Don't worry about your faith right now. Just speak what I've spoken to you. Just decree the word of the Lord. Amen. Because it's not my eloquence of speech that has power. And it's not my interpretation that has the power. It's his word that has the power. And all of a sudden, he said, don't worry about your confidence. Don't worry about how you feel. Don't worry about even what you're seeing. Yes, I know, he says. Yes, I know. I know. The Lord does know. Hear me? He does know. And he can make things fit. And he can make a move of God even among the dead. Glory to God. So what the world calls insignificant, what the world might call, God's going to have a move. Glory to God. Put up the next slide, please. This word that came forth out of Ezekiel was a word that brought healing. Shall these bones live? Well, Lord, you know. Actually, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Can you get that up there for me, please? Thank you. Ezekiel 37, 1 says this, the hand of the Lord came upon me. In other words, God grabbed him by the scruff of the neck. In fact, one interpretation says this, God literally picks me up. The prophet. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set in the midst of a valley. God will make me personally confront my bones. He will. He will make you confront your bones of your life. That which I thought was dead. And he's going to ask you the question, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now, before I go any further, let's read to Matthew chapter 6. Can you put up humble before me? I'm not going to get through all this. I've got some notes so you can take home and read. I will not get through this. It is too long. But I want you gist of what God is saying in this hour. He gave me this word, humble. Humble, no E. Probably American spelling. Humble. It means this. I've been speaking this all morning through prophetic, through songs. Humbly, united, minister before the Lord. Humbly, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, people would, first thing, humility. We're crying out, God, take a virus away. He's saying, humble yourself. Then I will heal your humility in unity. I'll say that again, humility in unity. Ministering before the Lord. Humility. Top of the mountain, you're going to experience a what? You're going to experience a, I spoke it, the prophetic word was what? An altar. Sacrifice yourself. To walk humbly means I've got to say, Lord, your will be done, not my will be done. To walk humbly means really fulfilling the prayer of Matthew chapter 6. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. This is not part of my notes. I just felt God say this to me. We've got to get this right. If you do not get this right, you will never walk humbly. Matthew chapter 6. Can you get that? Can you put that on the screen? Is that possible? The Lord's Prayer? No. It's too noisy. No, not really. Have we got? I bet it is. Where's my Bible? Matthew 6 and 1. Is that right? Nine. Matthew 6. Oh, well, see, I don't know everything. 6. It says this. He says, pray in this manner. He doesn't say pray this prayer. He says pray in this manner. All right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Please remember who's your Lord. Hallow the name. Be his friend. Be his companion. But never forget who he is. He is God Almighty. You are not equal to him. You're not mates. You're not mates. You have a friendship. But there has to be a respect and an honor that he is Lord. A hallowness. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. Here's the your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to show you how it comes. Stay with me. Give unto us bread. Give us our daily bread. This is how he gives you your daily bread. And forgive us of our debts, right? As we forgive our debtors. So what's the theme? Forgiveness. The theme is forgiveness. Let's not forget the theme. And do not lead us into temptation. Someone get James 1 and 13. James 1, 13. James 1 and 13. Anyone? James 1, 13. Shout it out, someone. Ah, so God says gets tempted by evil, nor does he tempt any one. So what's he saying here? Lead me not into temptation. He's asking God to not lead him into temptation, but James says the Lord doesn't tempt anyone. Let's continue. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead me, allow to be led by into temptation of unforgiveness. But deliver me from thee. The evil one will always try and keep me in unforgiveness. God tempt me. The evil one tempts me to keep in a place of unforgiveness. The whole prayer is about unforgiveness. It's about forgiveness. Thy kingdom come. How? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is done on earth as it should be in heaven? Forgiveness. Grace. Mercy. Humility. Unity. For thine is the kingdom. Lead me not into temptation. Lead me from the evil one. So the minute I stand in a place of unforgiveness, I've been tempted by an evil one. And the minute I do that is the minute I've stopped thy kingdom come. I will be what's his will? Forgiveness. Are you with me? Jesus was telling us to teach us how to pray and have communion with the Father. And the reason we walk in the forgiveness that we think we should be is because we don't remember, my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. I forget what he's forgiven me of. I'm not hallowing his name. I'm hallowing my own name. My rights. My rights. My pride that refuses me to bow. My temptation that the evil one's putting before me that I pick up when I refuse to forgive. But the minute I walk in forgiveness, I'm actually walking in the Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any unforgiveness in heaven? No. Temptation in heaven? No. Then he says this. I'll finish it. For yours is the power and the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he says this, verse 14. For if you what? He's still on the subject. He's still on the subject. He's still on the subject. He hasn't finished. We finish it at, for yours is the kingdom forever. Then we put, amen. He ain't finished. Jesus ain't finished. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive thy kingdom. Come. But if you do not forgive your men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thy kingdom come. Therefore, to what measure I give will be measured back to you. Amen. Therefore, it's imperative to have kingdom-mindedness and walk in the forgiveness of God, relevant of the response of the person. That is a Jesus never mentioned the other person. He never brought up the subject of the pain and the hurt or the abuse or the rubbish. He never brings it up once. He says, kingdom-mindedness. Oh, I'll chuck it really out there. Did Jesus put up with your rubbish? Did Jesus hang on the cross for your junk and my junk? He certainly did. Did he say, well, you know what? I've got second thoughts about you. Yeah, maybe I'll just give an arm today, right? I'll just crucify this side so I can slap him with. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He forgave me. He forgave. And if I remember and I bring to my remembrance what he's really forgiven me of, not the stuff that people might hear. I'm talking about those thoughts and intents of my heart that no one sees or hears but him alone and me. Them real things, what he's forgiven me of. And I have the audacity to have an opinion against someone else because they've done something wrong to me. I have forgot my Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, not my name, his name. Amen. And I believe this impetus is because there's so much disunity in the body of Christ. So much stuff happening in the body of Christ is powerless. It is voicing stuff, but it's not walking in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit because we're not seeing the release of a kingdom. Because we're still playing with, but you don't understand what they have been through. No, I don't. And I'm not trying to minimize what you've been through. But it really is insignificant to what price he's paid for you. And you've got a measuring stick's the cross, not another person. You've got to remember what he has forgiven you of. Amen. Where's that piece of paper? I've done something. Thy kingdom. God is releasing a prophetic word, I believe, in this day in the mouths of men and women who will speak the word in season. But first of all, he wants unity. And unity will mean some humility. I'm going to say that again. Unity means humility. Unity. And do you know where it starts? At home. In your house. With your kids. It's no use. Happy, clappy, yeah, oh, yes, praise the Lord. And doing all that here, when you're living like, I won't say it, when you leave an animal at home. If you haven't got something nice, and these are the words that delivered a nation. These are the words of a prophet that delivered an army of God that had died, that had no more life, lost their fight within them, that had lost their vigor, that had lost strength. These are the words that restored a person back to health and caused them to stand up and become part of the unity of an army of God again. These are the words. God is releasing a prophetic word in the mouths of men and women who will speak a word in season. You are those men and women. Don't look at another. Don't look at a preacher. Don't look at a TV evangelist. Don't look at someone that you think, oh, well, they've got it all together. They haven't got it all together. They have issues. They've all got issues. I don't care who you are. They have an issue. If we dig deep enough, there will be an issue. Everyone's full of issues. But God never speaks to that. Speak what I command you to speak. He said this. The prophet had a word of healing. He spoke as he was what? Commanded. Not what he felt. Not what? Not by faith. He spoke what was commanded. Well, Lord, and don't get me wrong, I would probably not even said that. I would have just went, I don't know. At least he had the gumption to say, well, Lord, you know. He brought a word of healing. This is what my words should be. A word of healing. He brought a word of deliverance. These men had lost. They were an army. They were an army. And all of a sudden, they had been dried up. Life within them had dried up. Life within them had been split. There was no fight left in them. And hear me, Christian, we all get to that point. You can read Paul, 2 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 8 or 13, something. He said this, I even had life. When he was going through hell and high water in prison, he said, I even despaired life. Sometimes life can be tough. At least I have an amen on that. Life can be tough. Life throws curveballs. I don't care whether you're pushing in, when you're not pushing in, it will throw you a curveball and it will try and reveal what is really inside of me. Am I full of dead man's bones? Or will a word come forth out of my mouth that he has commanded? A word of healing, a word of deliverance, a word that built all of a sudden there was a move of God. When the prophet spoke with the word commanded, God moved. There it says there was a shaking and a coming together. Hello? They still weren't one yet. They still weren't complete yet. There was a shaking and a coming together. A word of building. You see, the bones are the basic foundation and building block of what can be built. You need bones. Otherwise, you're just a bag of flesh. You need structure. You need the substance to carry what God wants you to carry. Amen? A word that will build, a word that will give strength, a word of life. He said this. That was verse 7. He said in verse 10, he said this. He says, can these bones live? Well, Lord, you know. Command, speak what I have commanded you. Prophesy to the winds. O breath from the south and the east and the west, come and breathe on them. And they were filled, and breath came into them. They were formed. They were formed by a word, and now they were filled with a word. Amen? It reminds me of a Genesis, a new beginning. Formed by the word, and then all of a sudden God spoke, and he breathed into him, and he became a living being. God commands us to speak life, even though I see death. He doesn't say, I think it's a good gen. He commands me, speak life. Speak life, a word that will cause one to set. And it says all of a sudden, this army that was once dead, this army that was stripped, this army that didn't have any fight in them, this army that didn't have any way of getting the situation they got in, heard the word, and all of a sudden, it caused them to get up. You have a word locked within you that can cause someone to get up. Keep speaking fault. If I keep speaking stuff of unforgiveness, if I keep speaking things of my will. You see, when I stand before God, and when I go home to be with Him, I'm not going to stand before Him and He's not going to say things like this. Did you preach to the thousands? Did you fit in well? Were you relevant for the moment? He's not going to say any of that. You know what He's going to say? Did you do what I said? So I preach here sometimes on Wednesday to 4 or 5 people, but I preach this Wednesday night to what I do today. I don't change because I'm commanded to preach. My success is not people. My success has been obedient to Him. Whether it's 4 people or 40 people, I've preached in front of thousands, tens of thousands. It doesn't make any matter to me. What it means is, am I obedient to God? And one of the greatest downfalls in society today is a lack of obedience. It's infiltrated through the whole of society. Homes. Church. School. I don't want to do that. I refuse to do that. I have rights. I'm serious. It's permeating through the whole of society. And God hates disobedience. He said, my obedience is greater than what? All this worship we had this morning, all this wonder of feeling the glory of God and the power of God and the miracles of God, that's wonderful, but nothing compared to your obedience. Your obedience carries a weight of glory and a weight of honor to the Lord that reveals Him. Amen? People want to see the Christ. And He does that through our what? Our obedience. Be obedient. Oh, I struggle with them, but I love Jesus. I've heard people say that to me. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I struggle with them, but I love Jesus. No, you don't. I'm sorry if that got under your nose, but you really don't. How can you love the one you see? 1 John chapter 2. If you can't love the one you can see. So my love is conditional. Now I'm in a place of disobedience. Now I'm walking in temptation. Now I'm being sought after by the evil one. Is this okay? Are you going all right? Word that will cause them to get in rank. Unity. Come on, you can get up. Come on, you can do this. Oh, you don't know how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. Just speak what He commanded. Get up. Come on, you can do it. Well, I don't see any fruit. Well, let God bring the fruit. Who brought the sinew and who brought the flesh and who brought everything upon the bones? God did. You don't have to do that. I don't have to heal anyone. I don't have to deliver anyone. God does that. All you've got to do is just do what I've been commanded. Pray for the sick. Lay hands on the sick. Amen. Let God put meat on the bones. Come on now. Some of us are hands are trying to manipulate and mold some things that we shouldn't. You just need to take your hands off and speak. Speak what He says to speak. No more, no less. Amen. Cause them a word to get in rank, a word that will give them their courage back. Courage. See, an army needs courage. An army needs courage. God spoke to a man that was in charge of an army when they crossed over to the promised land called Joshua. Is that true? He said, Joshua, Moses, my servant is what? In other words, the old way is done. Finished. Gone. Kaput. Stop referring back to it. May I say this to someone here this morning? Stop reflecting. Have a new beginning. Come on. His mercies are new every. Have a new beginning. Stop living in the past. Get up. He says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now go, I will be with you. Now do what I have said, I told you. In other words, be obedient. All of a sudden, he says, oh, in Deuteronomy, he says this, I will give you, actually Joshua 1 verse 3, I will give you the where every part of the sole of your feet treads. Is that what he said to him? Come on. Yes? I will give you the land wherever your sole of your foot treads. So what limits Joshua receiving the promise and the inheritance? What can limit him? The next step. If he refuses to take the next step, that's all he's going to possess. Come on. Now, he took and he defeated Jericho. And he thought that was good. Then he took another step that wasn't so good. And he got smashed in a place called Ai. And he fell and, oh God, what's happened to me? Help me, please. Oh God, you said. You know what God said to him? Get up. That's his exact words. Get up. Why did he say that? Because you know what to do. Get up. Some of you are still seeking God for an answer, and you've really already got the answer. You're hoping God will change his mind. He won't. Get up. And then he said this, wherever you put your foot is yours. Now he did that out of obedience. The next step he took was a step of obedience because he just got defeated. May I say this? If you want to possess what God has for your life and you're waiting for faith to be so you can take the next step, just take a step by obedience and let faith catch up. Come on. Sometimes you just got to step up and step out. You and I step up and step out and start to speak what? Words of healing, deliverance, strength, rank, courage. And they got what this army did? They got their fight back. Hallelujah. I believe God is raising an army with courage to get their fight back with a word in due season that will bring a deliverance to a nation that has a word in season and they're commanded to speak, and that word will be a word of deliverance. A word of deliverance. And that which was non-essential will become essential again in our community, become essential again in our nation, because what does it? Righteousness exalts. And where does righteousness come from? Christ. Out of the church. But if I'm living, that's loud. If I'm living the way I shouldn't be living, and if I can't get it right here, how do you think on earth we're going to get it right out there? It ain't going to happen. You can have all the happy, clappy meetings you want. You can have all the fuzzes and buzzes, and you can lay that, and you can shake, and you can buzz, and you can do all that. If it ain't going to change you, forget it. I'm going to finish on this. I could go all day. I hate losing. I'm sorry. I hate losing. I remember as a kid, I was in the States under 14s and 16 team. I used to love soccer. In fact, I idolized soccer. But my own team, Kwinana, had never lost a match in any division in 3 years. Because we were... I knew if I kicked that ball, he would be there. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to worry about it. And if he wasn't there, I wouldn't say, why weren't you there? I knew there was a reason he wasn't there. I was playing right wing for the state. And I said to the coach of the state team, I said, I don't want to play for you. I want to play for my team. Because we were playing my team. Because they had never lost. He said, all right, be on the losing side. I said, I beg your... I said, we haven't lost in 3 years. We played the state team. We beat them 4-0. Because we were a team. We weren't a bunch of good individuals. We were a team. I hate losing. And I know one thing with God. God's never lost. Once. And I'm on his side. I'm on his side. And you've got to get some tenacity in your spirit, man, to fight the good fight of faith. and stop. The devil came against Jesus with words. Jesus came against with what? With words. You and I have to be in the Word. You've got to be speaking His Word. Whether you like it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you have got the faith, you speak the Word till it comes on them bones. You keep speaking and speaking, and them words defeated the devil. He only went away for a little bit till a more opportune time. He'll come back. Amen. But if you're more full of the Word, you might know this, but this is the truth. When the devil spoke scripture to Jesus, he only half spoke it. He never finished the scripture. Because he might know some of the Word, but he doesn't know the Word. Because the Word's Jesus, the Word's a person. You and I have got to know the Word. Amen. There's some there. I won't finish. You and I have got to put away the petty things, the childish things, the insignificant things. Really, compared to our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, they're insignificant. In the framework of what He's forgiven me of. And the bigger I make it, the bigger the fight I've got. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This earth. This temple. As it is in heaven. Give unto me my daily bread. Give me the capacity and the strength to forgive. Give me the and give me the strength of the food of your word that I need to overcome this temptation. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me my daily bread. And first of all, Lord, before I bring up the person, forgive me of my trespasses that I have trespassed against you. Amen. You want to see kingdom come? Humbly, united, minister before the Lord. Amen. We do that, we'll see our nation healed. He who humbles himself, is that what it says? And turns from there, the wickedness of unforgiveness. It's wicked. Then I shall hear from. And then I will heal your. Hallelujah. No, God never asks me to do anything that He hasn't given me the power to do. Otherwise, it's unjust. And God's not an unjust God. If He's asked you to do something, He's given you the power to do it. He'll never command you to do something that you haven't got the ability to do. It might mean you have to strip yourself of pride, rejection, whatever it is, and deal with the inner you, the enemy, the inner me, the inner me, the enemy, the inner me, the enemy of me. Deal with the enemy of me, which is the enemy. I know it's a tongue twister. That's the truth. Your battle is your head. Ain't a devil. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's me. Amen. God is looking for a Joshua generation season to take another step. So we can become from non-essential to essential. I'm not letting the world dictate. I'm not letting the world dictate when the switch goes on and off. My God's the same in season and out of season. Let's stand this morning. There's so much more to say. I've got 3 more pages. I believe this is a fresh beginning. I believe God, my eyes to see something that the world, the church needs to see. No use crying to heaven and say, God, let the glory fall. Let the cloud of your glory. Oh, God, let the gold dust. God, they're nice. I mean, praise the Lord. If I could carry all the gold dust, I'd probably make a fortune. That's not it. What is it is this? I walk in humility and unity, ministering before him. That if something's arced up in me, I make it bow. I make it bow. Thy kingdom come in me. Thy kingdom come in me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the change this morning. God, we ask the angels of God to the gates of our lives, that my mouth will be a well of life, for out of it flows the issues of life. Let my mouth be a well of life, not by what I see, not by what I hear, not by faith alone, but in obedience to you and you alone. Let thy kingdom come in my house. Let your kingdom come in our schools. Let your kingdom come in our society. Let your kingdom come in your church. We need to see a move of your God. Good morning, Father, we bow our knee. And Lord, I thank you for the word in due season, that you're going to take a bunch of bones and you're going to develop an army. An army in rank, an army stand, an army that's got its courage back, an army that's got its fight back, an army that's got its first love back, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Let our mouth be an echo, Father, of your love to others. We can see souls, come into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The Lord. He's a good God.